What sorts of terrain is it covering here? It's a collection of how many stories?
A collection of four. Mm-hmm. And it's the human experience with the Southern bent. And even though we're playing on Valentine's Day, there's nothing sentimental about them. They are darkly humorous and a black comedy.
Well, let's hear some. How to clean your apartment sounds benign enough. Should we start there?
Sure. Clutter. See also choking, boyfriends, mothers. Let's think for a moment about why you're here. There is, first of all, the matter of the missing man, the man who convinced you to stay in this city of multiplexes and theme restaurants rather than run the rat race in more exciting locales. And there is the matter of the pop-up mother leaping across phone lines from behind doorways, ever hopeful for your marriage and motherhood, words you hear echoed whenever she says, "I just want you to be happy." There are women you know who would climb Mount Kilimanjaro at a time like this, or join the Peace Corps, or start a foundation for a new cause. You've decided to clean your apartment. It's time to take control, time to reclaim cubic feet of storage space in your closet, time to give the dog back his favorite corner. How happy do you think he is, wedging himself between a pile of magazines and that dying plant? That will be the first step. Get rid of the plant, but save the clay pot. Maybe you could use it as a doorstop.
Boy, you know, great read, first off, Camilla. Congratulations. It's just anytime I hear something like that and I want to get to know that person, I think that's got to be a success. I mean, what an interesting, you kind of get the whole character there in what is it, a minute and a half?
That was
pretty amazing.
Thank you. That's then there's a lot more to that character to learn.
What do you love most about this character? What strikes you?
Because she's brave enough to do things that so many of us, including myself, maybe aren't brave enough to do.
Like what? I mean, not just cleaning your apartment,
well,
surely.
No, but spending a day soul searching and going through past experiences and the clutter that is the metaphor for our life, probably, and the baggage that we hang on to.
So that's a great inkling as to what we can expect with Over the Edge. But I want more. Can we have another read?
Sure. I'm actually doing two stories in Over the Edge.
Okay.
And as we talked about earlier, they both are written originally by Quinn Dalton. My second piece is entitled Graceland.
Oh, that's a charged territory.
Mm-hmm.
Can you set this up for us? What are we about to hear?
In this next piece, we just go into the inner workings of a woman's brain about how she arrives at an action. Sometimes I still think about how if I hadn't seen him, he'd still be driving around those mint green golf courses they've carved all over the hills of Memphis. George took Alice to Graceland alone the next day. "Go get in some bar fights and get it out of your system," he said. And I was mad enough to do it. But people have a way of sensing that, and no one gave me a chance. Why am I so angry? I've spent up to $125 an hour trying to answer that question. I could blame it on my weak, binging father, but that seems too simple. I could blame it on growing up large for my age so that I could beat up high school boys when I was in the sixth grade, an ability I grew to enjoy. I could blame it on being a woman, because when a woman learns to like fighting, she doesn't do it for sport or to make a point. It isn't a form of communication the way it is with men. It's attempted murder every time. I've never quit a fight until someone pulled me off. Putting someone on the ground wasn't enough. That night, I watched the fireworks over Graceland from our hotel room, and that's when I decided how to do it.
Graceland, we heard from Camilla Milliken, written by Quinn Dalton, adapted by Camilla for the theater, and another great read. Wow, intense stuff.
Yeah, and I really had to deep search myself and brainstorm with Brenda as well about who this character is talking to, because she's relaying the story, the facts, just the facts, about an action that she did. She commits murder. But she's not contrite in any way. So we toyed with, you know, well, is she talking to a therapist? Because she talks about trying to deal with her anger a little bit. Is she talking to an attorney? Is she on the witness stand? You know, but in all those cases, the way the actor reads it is totally different.
Sure.
And so what we decided upon is, you know, she's talking to herself, because that is really the best way. She's just relaying the facts, straightforward, no shame. So we decided I'd do that piece while putting on makeup in front of just, you know, an empty mirror frame.
Thankfully, you had to ask for a point of reference to get into character on that one.
Yeah.
You're not drawing from real experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. How was the give and take between you and Quinn? Well, let's start with how to clean your apartment.
So Quinn just gave us permission to do her stories. I went through her book, Bulletproof Girls, and those are the two stories that spoke to me the most and that I thought I would be able to do and portray those characters. And then she was kind enough and trusting enough to allow me, with Brenda Salinas's help and overseeing, of course, to take those short stories and then adapt them into a piece of theater. So something that she's written just to be read, I had to sort through and take what we felt like, or I felt like, were the essential things, and only use that in the story. Because obviously when you're on stage, you don't need the color necessarily or the action, so that you have to portray that. And we also, one of the amazing things that touring theater does is when Brenda adapts something, or now that she's taught three of us to do this as well, we don't add a single word into the text that we're using. We simply take from the author's words.
I mean, does that present particular challenges?
Yes, because at one point I wanted to say a line from another character, come with me to dinner, and he doesn't say that. He just wants me to come with him to dinner. But I thought, you know, for dramatic purposes, I needed to add that. And, of course, when I ran that by Brenda, she kind of nixed that idea.
So you got to really get into editing in a way that maybe you hadn't thought of before. That's interesting.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Quinn has her own voice, which is so unique and so funny and yet poignant at the same time. Who are some writers whom you admire along those lines today? I mean, if you were going to go grab, boy, I wish I could go do so-and-so's work.
Well, of course, I love Lee Smith. And we've done her work at Turing Theater, and I love her and everything that she does. I also have a former professor, Bill Cobb, and I really like his stuff and their Southern stories and things that, even though he's a man, he writes things that women can relate to, I think, really nicely.
I was thinking another one of those would be David Sedaris.
Oh, my God, I love David Sedaris, and I love Amy.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, when we first started doing this class that Brenda taught, we were trying to figure out, you know, like, who would we do, what would we want to do? And those were two of the names that were top of my list, were David and Amy Sedaris.
Yeah. I want to get listeners up to speed on your background a little bit before we dive into Over the Edge. Beginning with, let's look back on Deployed. That was a very powerful touring theater of North Carolina production. What sorts of audience reaction did you get from that? And, you know, along with that, what sets this company apart from others you've worked with?
Well, Deployed was really one of the most amazing pieces as an actor that I've ever been a part of. And it was so hard to it seemed like, well, you weren't acting. We weren't acting since it was Reader's Theater.
Because you were reading letters that were actually in existence previously.
Yes, and or poems that veterans wrote or family of veterans wrote. But to put myself in the shoes of the person who wrote those letters was one of the most difficult things I've ever done. And on the nights that a lot of the writers were there, it's made it even more difficult, because we could see them and you're wanting to honor their words with truth and honesty, and so afraid that you're not going to. It was really an interesting work and difficult from an actor standpoint, I felt like.
As someone who's never acted, I've always been fascinated with that juggling act that you all go through, where you want to connote empathy or somehow through your characterization do it justice, but at the same time you can't let it go or you're just going to fall apart. I mean, what do you focus in on to prevent that?
I think you just have to focus on life itself and the end result, and that these people who wrote this or who lived through this, they did live through those things. They survived. And as a part of honoring them, I certainly can't wallow in my own emotions about it and still portray their life the way that it should be.
And you can't have a pity party and get the job
exactly,
done.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Even though I want to sometimes.
How does Over the Edge, where does that fall in terms of what it's getting at? We got a little inkling of it with the great read, or two reads, I should say. Putting together a collection of different stories into a production like this, and it's a collaborative effort with different members of the cast. How did that go? How did it begin, and how did it develop?
Well, Brenda decided that she wanted to teach a class to try to teach other people the magnificent thing that she's able to do.
And we should just kind of review what exactly she does, because she goes searching out story ideas and has an uncanny success with really powerful stuff.
Really. She takes letters and firsthand interviews and is able to create these amazingly powerful pieces of drama without adding anything. Everything that's said on stage is you know, something that came out of that person's mouth, that historical figure's mouth, and it's just amazing. And then she adapts a short story or a novel. She does the same thing. And so we had this class and where she taught us how to do that. We read the piece and then just go through and break it down to bare bones what you have to have for the story.
And then within that, who selected the various stories that were covered?
We did. The three of us in the class.
And who are the other two?
The other two people are Kay Thomas and John Kernodle. And Kay is doing part of Pamela Duncan's novel, The Big Beautiful, and it's about a bride waiting at the back of the aisle before she walks down the aisle to be married, and she's just troubled by doubts about marrying the local undertaker, which that would be troubling to me as well.
Yes.
And then John is doing a piece called Don't Make Me Stop Now. It's from Michael Parker's collection of essays, and he's also a Greensboro writer. And it's just the central figure is the guy, and he's just caught up in the mourning, the loss of his marriage to the point of self-destruction.
Well, as indicated by those titles and a little synopsis, we should remind listeners, this is not your typical Valentine's Day celebration.
No, it definitely is not. It's very dark, dark humor and kind of anti-Valentine's.
Which can be okay, too.
Yeah, sure.
It's quite a right.
Not everybody has somebody they're happy about spending Valentine's with.
That's right. And then coming up, you all paid tribute to the Duke.
We do. That's going to be our spring production, and it's going to be Duke Ellington Uptown. It's just a cabaret of his popular songs that runs the first two weekends in April. And that's going to be a really fun show, I think. And we're also doing these all in collaboration. Over the Edge and Duke Ellington are part of Twin Theater's first ever chamber series. And we are doing that chamber series at Mac and Mac Showroom downtown in downtown Greensboro and South Elm. And it's a really cool venue and an amazing venue. We talked earlier about Deployed, and we did Deployed at Mac and Mac. And so we're doing these letters and poems about war, but in the midst of this lovely showroom. So that actually added to the group experience, I think.
People right there, you really feel like you're in the show.
It's very intimate, yes.
Yeah. And, of course, Duke Ellington, just trying to come up with the best of for Duke Ellington could be quite a challenge. It's just so much wealth of material there.
Yes, there is. And thankfully, that's in Brenda's ball court, not mine.
Great.